the building. What's going on, everybody? And welcome back. Gosh, it's been a minute. You feel me? To your favorite podcast out here on these streets, the Opinionated Brothers is back. Ty is back. Hi, guys. What's going on? I missed you guys. What's happening? What's happening? What's going on? What's crack-a-lacking and what's shaking and baking? Cousin Scrap and HD will not be joining us this episode. Cousin Scrap got sick by the kids. You feel me? Shout out to my nieces and nephews, but they got sick by the kiddos. And I think HD as well. I'm also battling a sinus cold and infection that came through this past weekend. I was good up until Thursday. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I was really good up until Thursday. I really wanted to bring y'all something the week of the 28th, but again, things have been going on that we'll discuss here, and some on the Patreon as well. So, but yeah, this sinus cold has been kicking my ass. And here's the thing: I usually don't get sick. I'm the type like who really keeps his immune system good and in check. This is the second time in about 4 years, going on 5 years that I've gotten sick, you know? So thank God to that. But like, the first time was me actually coming to New York and, you know, getting acclimated to the New York environment. Right. But, this go round, I feel like a bug got me. Or somebody got me, right? So I do advise all of you, right? I am in the New York area. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't care where you are in the New York area, Bronx, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Staten Island, Long Island, Hart, I don't care where you at. Please cover your mouth when you fucking sneeze. Please go to the bathroom. To do whatever, like step out of the, do what you gotta do, okay? And them train, boy, when you are, let me tell you something. The subway is the gateway to the sick. Real talk, it's the gateway to the sick. You are literally booty touching each other. Am I wrong? Like you're booty touching each other. Literally, thigh to thigh. So it's just like, yo, be careful. It's a bug going around here. I'm recovering. You know what I'm saying? So y'all be careful. And yeah, I missed y'all. We gonna get into more of that. You feel me? When we get back into it. But be sure to follow us on all platforms. You feel what I'm saying? We are back. I will say this, though, because I am recovering from this little sinus bug, this will be the only podcast that I'm doing this week. I really do want to recover so that for next week's shows, y'all get me at complete 100%. Because right now, I'm at about a good 65, 70, which is okay. But I like to be more so about, you know, 75, 80%. But I'm pushing through today because I really did miss y'all. I really did miss podcasts, and I really did miss coming back to the mic. And, yeah, I missed y'all, man, for real, for real. So I was like, let me do what I need to do and come on back to the people. You understand what I'm saying? So y'all know we got some things to discuss. We'll discuss my return to podcast, and of course we'll give you a clip of the week. We'll give the message of the week, of course, at the end of the show. We'll talk our MVP and clown of the week. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Megan Thee Stallion doc. I watched it. We're going to talk a little bit. Wasn't there something else that I wanted to discuss? Give me a second, because I don't think it's on my board. But I think before I say this last one, oh, that's what it was. Jess with the mother freaking mess is back on the Breakfast Club, and I want to discuss it. Because I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this in no disrespect. I miss Lauren LaRosa on the Breakfast Club already. And shout out to Lauren LaRosa on the Breakfast Club. Like, she was dope as hell. But I got a choice. I got some choice words for the Breakfast Club. Not more so Jess. This don't got nothing to do with Jess. I don't think so. But I'm more so looking at Charlamagne and Envy and the producers of that show a little bit sideways when it came to Lauren LaRosa. But we'll get into it. And of course, I do want to talk 47. Well, Ty, what the hell is 47? 47. Y'all know what the fuck I'm talking about. Don't act stupid. 47. 47 is Trump. 47. We here now. What we gonna do? We'll discuss more so at the end of the show. All right. So let's get into it. I do have my tea right here for you. You feel what I'm saying? I'm not playing. Turmeric, ginger, some lemon. You feel what I'm saying? I was going to make this a little hot toddy, but I'll make me one later. I've been sweating this shit out for like the last, probably like the last 3 days. Boy, I went to the laundromat yesterday and washed these clothes. One plan. Oh, that's good. That's good. I put some. That's good. I like that. All right. So let's get into our clip of the week. I want to give y'all a clip because, you know, hard work is hard. You feel me? So I want y'all to know that even with the, not the clip, didn't clip it on here. Ooh. Let me tell you something, Restream. You will not do me like that. Now my clip is not on here. I beat you up. You feel me? Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. All right, let me send that. There we go. All right. So basically, I just want y'all to know hard work never stops. You know, it always keeps going. You feel what I'm saying? And be proud of your hard work. So let's get into our clip real quick.
Here's a motivational thought for today. Always remember that the reward for working hard at your job is often more work.
Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear that motivational speech? Y'all didn't hear that? Let me play it one more time for y'all.
Here's a motivational thought for today. Always remember that the reward for working hard at your job is often more work.
Did y'all hear that? Huh? When you work hard at your job, know that more work is coming your way. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the listeners and the doers and the hearers of his word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. That's some that's crazy. You feel me? But that typically is usually how it goes. If you're a hard worker, yeah, they'll say, oh, they'll pat you on the back a little bit, but they're going to give you more work. You just got to know that. Okay. All right. So let's get into our MVPs of the week. Of course, I got, man, stop playing with these boys. Yo, y'all stop playing with my Detroit Lions. Okay? Let me tell you something. And I had them all right. I had this queued up, you know what I'm saying, produced up pretty much before the game yesterday. Right? And so when I went to bed last night, I seen the score at 23-7 at half. And I already seen that Jared Goff had 3 interceptions and 1 touchdown. I said, Jesus, no. I looked up and said, Jesus, no. and I went to bed. I got back up, and we won 26-23 with this man throwing another two picks. I said, now wait a minute. Now, how do you throw five? Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. Cinco. How the hell do you throw five interceptions and we win the game? On the road, no less. We're in Houston. Shout out to H-Town. We'll be in H-Town this weekend. But tell me, how do you win a game? Like, if you, okay. And I'm saying this as a person who's been watching the Lions and on and off the bandwagon for a long time. That's just it. Right? I love you when you're doing great. I love you when you're doing bad. But when you're doing bad consistently, I just got to leave you for a minute. Because you've been breaking my heart. A lot of Lions fans have been Lions fans when they've been losing. 0-16, 2-14. We've had some terrible teams. But over the last 3 to 4 years, the last 3 years specifically, the Lions have been gaining a sense of identity. And I've always said since when I did my sports show, I've always said the Lions look like they could be an amazing team. They just got to act like it. They just got to act like it. They acted like it yesterday, right? And if you as a Lions fan don't think that they can go to the Super Bowl after this game, literally, you can't get no worse. You can't get any worse than five picks. Quarterback throws, if CJ Stroud throws five fucking interceptions in that game, Detroit wins by like 20, no question. No question. If Jaden Williams throws five interceptions in the Steelers game, he throws two interceptions. The Steelers are up by 14. This is how crucial we are in the season right now. We're in what, week 10, week 11 now? We're going into week 11? The season is winding down. So when I say five interceptions and you still won the game by three, you have to give love and credit to the kicker. Kicker came through. Iron Ron St. Brown came through. Knuckles and Sonic. Gibbs and Montgomery came through. They all came through. Even Goff. When need be, when needed to, came through. That, when I watched that, when I watched the highlights, it immediately told me, like, okay, I can breathe with this team. I can breathe with this team. Like, we're going to be okay. Even with Aiden Hutchinson out, we got Sedarius. He didn't play. But even still, we came to play. Was it cute? Nope. It was ugly as hell. And since I've understood football, some games are just going to be ugly. This was an ugly one. We should have lost that game. But the fact that we did not rattle, we did not sit here and flinch, we did not sit here and go backwards like we usually do, we sat here and persevered, and we just trucked every little bit. And that, my friends, is why I'm saying that Detroit, like, Detroit Lions was already my MVP, but this game solidified it. 12-4 last year, 12-5 last year, I believe, all the way to the NFC Championship game. You can't tell me who's literally living in the city where two of their teams are terrible. Two of them. The Jets and the Giants. You can't tell me Detroit is not on their way to back to the NFC Championship game or to the Super Bowl. So, gotta give love to the Detroit Lions. Shout out to y'all, man. Continue to kill it. You feel what I'm saying? All right, clowns of the week. I just want to sit here and say this to you Uber Eats restaurant.
Trash.
Let me play that again.
Trash.
So my mom used to sell food at her house. My grandmother did it. You know, my auntie did. You know, hell, my uncles were selling, had barbecue place. All of my family has done, and I believe a lot of families have done the same. So there is a level of care that I will always have with your food when I send it out to you or when I give it to you. You understand what I'm saying? There is a certain level of service and excellence that I'm going to sit here and have and exude when I sit here and make your plate. Now, the one thing I've been asking my lady is, where the hell is the great catfish around here? Okay? Because I haven't had no good catfish. Right? At all. Period. So, we go to this. Excuse me. We look at this place. And ironically, it's called Sweet Potatoes. We like, ooh, this sounds like a place. You know, nice reviews. You feel me? Got over 100 reviews. I'm like, okay, that sound good. They got fried catfish, two sides. All right, babe. We get it. My lady get the salmon. I get the fried catfish. The shit is poo-poo.
Trash!
First and foremost, I got collard greens and yams. Didn't want mac and cheese because I ain't want all that mucus right now. You feel me? I'm trying to release all of that mucus right now. In all of my, I'm 30 years old, by the way, but in the 30 years that I've been living, in the 30 years that I've been eating greens, never have they tasted like Kool-Aid.
Trash!
I have never had greens taste so sweet that I had to spit those mother sulkies out. Like, as soon as I got the fork and the eye, I said, my girl was like, what happened? I said, these greens are disgusting. These greens are nasty. And then when you look at her plate, she said the mac and cheese wasn't good. Food was cold. And then I don't think she asked for rice with her fucking salmon.
Trash!
And again, this is not the first restaurant. I feel like a lot of y'all are caping and capping. And I'm sick of it. As a Southern boy who was born in Florida, raised in Detroit, two places where the food is really authentic and hit the stomach and ear to the heart, especially soul food. I'm a soul food boy. Do you understand what I'm saying? So any soul food that I get, I'm going to critique with heart and harshly. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've had hands lay over me when they make the oxtail. I've had hands lay over me when they make the grains. Not the greens, the grains. Huh? With the smoked turkey neck and all of that. See, I've learned in the kitchen from my forefathers and mothers how to make a lot of this food. Don't play with it. Your boy can throw down in the kitchen. Huh? But the fact that I tasted sugar, diabetes greens, who told y'all to put Kool-Aid in that? This ain't sugar water greens. This ain't candy yams mixed with Listen, Uber Eats restaurants need to get it together, specifically in New York. I'm tired of people. I'm tired of hearing the oh, we're a cultural melting pot. Okay, well, listen, I won't. Soul food, come on now. Is that not culture? Because listen, I love my curry chicken. I love my rice and peas. My platanos. Spanish food be banging. I love all of that shit. Can I get some soul food, please? Please. Southern boy asking, please. Excuse me, y'all. Not even in Harlem is the soul food even stop. Y'all gonna make some enemies out of me today, and I'm gonna have some enemies after this episode. Stop. I'm serious, though. I'm really serious, though. I'm tired. And then I can't really make the shit that I want to make because y'all don't have all the ingredients to make it. I'm like, wait a minute. What is going on? I'm trying to go to the meat man. The meat man don't even say I got catfish. You go to, what do you mean you don't have catfish? See, the Fresh Fish House on 8 Mile had catfish nuggets and fries. Huh? Y'all not hearing me. Y'all not hearing me. Uber Eats restaurants, get it together. Get it the fuck together.
Trash!
Because y'all are trash. You feel what I'm saying? I don't know how many times I done hit up Uber support. And Uber support is trash, too.
Trash!
I said it. Uber support is trash. 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 Completely. Just wanted to put that out there. All right. All right, y'all. So, I'm back. So, your boy has been gone for a while. One of the reasons that was, well, we can show the picture here, was because your boy broke his pinky toe. Got gout on the pinky toe. Yeah, broke my pinky toe. How the fuck you break your pinky toe? And god damn, how the fuck do it look like that? So I literally stubbed my toe. If you're watching right now, the picture is up here. But if you listen to the listening audience, one Wednesday morning, I got up, usually like I do every morning, get up, you know, get ready for the day. And it's dark in my house, so I'm really not seeing, and I stubbed my toe. And I stubbed my toe like any other toe, right? I thought it was going to be okay. Right. You know, you run around the house like, ah, you know, run around, let the pain go away. And I'm thinking like, oh, okay, we're good. But something, I'm like, something feels weird. But I'm like, ah, it's just the pain, though. I look down. Pinky toe is going this way. And I said, oh, my God. What the fuck? I'm like, what just happened? I'm like, babe, look at my shit. She's like, ah, what the fuck? I'm like, oh, my God. Listen, thank God that we do have a hospital right down the street from us. We go to the emergency room. They like everybody that has seen my pinky toe. What the fuck did you do to your pinky toe? I was like, I stubbed it. They were like, well, damn, you stubbed that bitch hard as hell. I said, obviously. I didn't know I did that. I thought it was a regular stub. But stubbed it into a fracture. Didn't completely sever off the bone, which is, you know, amazing. But did fracture it, slightly break it. So, you know, they popped it back into place. And nobody told me that the worst part of, I guess you could say, surgery in a sense, any type of surgery, is the needle part. Because I didn't want to feel them popping my shit back into place. I didn't want to feel that. So, of course, they're gonna give me that numbing medicine, right? The numbing medicine, like the pain, the people thought that the pain from me breaking my toe initially was going to hurt. It just felt like I stubbed my toe with, like, just a hint of pain. It wasn't crazy. You understand what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I had to walk slow, make sure I don't touch nothing, or, you know what I'm saying, make sure I don't, you know what I'm saying, put no weight on it. But yeah, like, it didn't feel like I was laughing through the whole shit. My girl was with me. I was laughing. Like, it was hilarious to me, because I'm like, yo, this is a freak accident. It just happens, like, crazy. So the pain wasn't excruciating. The pain of them putting that needle in my foot to numb my foot, though? Shit. What? That pain was excruciating. I held on. I said, shit. I said, shit. Because they did it twice. And it, ooh, that's, whew. But when they put it in there, I ain't feel nothing for at least 2 days. I was like, damn. But been healing for the last, what, 5 weeks now? So it initially happened in September, and that's when I got my job offer. To start work. So I'm literally, yeah, your boy is working now. You feel me? Talk about that more on Patreon. So yeah, your boy got the offer. Like, now I'm walking around in a boot. You feel what I'm saying? Everybody's like, what happened? I broke my toe. How'd you break your toe? I stubbed it. Oh my God, that's crazy. How was the pain? The most common question has been like, how's the pain? And I'm like, the pain wasn't that deep. It wasn't crazy. I think what really got me in the shock was my toe was looking crazy to the side. And I think people are definitely going to use my broken toe for, like, research purposes. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Right? Because my shit, first of all, if y'all see the skeleton of my foot, it looks crazy, right? My girl had it up on her screensaver for Halloween and shit. You feel what I'm saying? Thought that shit was hilarious, right? Jesus Lord. But, yeah, that shit was funny, though. Because I'm just like, look at my foot. It's so big. You feel what I'm saying? But when they showed me that, I was like, oh, so I didn't dislocate it. They was like, no. You fractured that boy, my boy. I was like, yeah, I did. So that's why I've been gone for more than what I've been, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, adjusting to the new job, which has been amazing. And then getting sick just out of the fucking blue. You feel what I'm saying? Because a lot of factors went into that, right? This weather that was all up and down sideways in New York, that was crazy. Again, people sneezing and not covering their mouths. That's really a grind my gears pet peeve type of thing. And as my mama would say, and as my grandmother would say, me trying to be outside looking cute, which translates into some days I went out with a cold, some days I did not. So, you know, a third of that is on me. You understand what I'm saying? So, I've already taken a third of that responsibility, you know, that accountability. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, I took a third of accountability. You know, you break it up in threes. You feel what I'm saying? That's how you got to do it. But I'm back. We're bringing content. During this time, you know, it's the Thanksgiving holiday season and everything. So we're gonna make sure we bring some good content for you guys for the holiday season. Usually I take a break, but I've been on break for a while now, so I can give y'all some holiday episodes. I'm excited. But let's get back into it. I'm back. I'm here about 65% right now, but we're here. All right, so let's get into it. Megan Thee Stallion documentary. This was interesting, to say the least. The biggest takeaway from this, or the biggest takeaway that people have been saying, is that Megan Thee Stallion lied about fucking Tory Lanez. And I told y'all, we told y'all as a group, as a collective podcast, me, HD, and Cousin Scrap, told y'all in the beginning that they were fucking. Back in like 2021, we said this. When they took this picture, huh? We told y'all that that little short man was fucking this tall woman from Houston. And nobody wanted to sit here and believe us. I'm sorry. When two people are on live at somebody's house with some alcohol, huh? Don't tell me something don't go down and then y'all taking pictures like this. For our listening audience, it is the picture of Megan Thee Stallion in the orange outfit with Tory Lanez putting his hands up, you know, and her butt up against his, you know, his pecker. So, you know, that was very boomerish of me, right? Nah, they ain't know I can say it like that. I know, little pecker. You feel what I'm saying? Here's the thing, though. The documentary was well edited. I loved the anime integration of it. It was really, really dope. I loved that. The visuals were really great. In terms of the story, I will say this. First of all, shout out to Megan Thee Stallion and everything she's been through, especially the loss of her mother. I know that was a big thing for her. And we all don't know what everybody's going through. And sometimes we have to extend grace where grace is given. And I don't think a lot of people extended her that grace. A lot of people wanted her to work, which, I mean, when you have a big record, you're becoming big. I get it. But she needed to sit down after the loss of her mother. She did not. She lied to Gayle King, telling everybody she didn't fuck Tory Lanez. Blah, blah, blah. That was a lie. Excuse me. She felt like she was majorly depressed. You know, more of the documentary was heavy on her mom and on the Tory Lanez thing. I will say that I'm kind of over Tory Lanez, Megan Thee Stallion, Kelsey, her best friend. I'm over that whole thing. Because, again, the story keeps switching. It keeps switching gears like it's a gear shift car or some shit like that. You understand what I'm saying? And every time somebody shifts another gear, it's another question or another story involved, and we're all getting confused. It's enough. What we know for certain, and what we've been saying since 2021, is that Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez was a thing. They may not have been a couple. We know what that looks like. They may not have been together. We know what that looks like. But when you go back to another woman's house and your really intoxicated and you see your nigga that you've been sitting here clapping cheeks with for the last maybe week or so in the pool with Kylie Jenner about to give it up to her, you get mad. Shit happens. Right? Some shit happens. And then some shit happens. Like, we have to understand, like, come on now. Right? I'm not putting this all on Meg, but accountability has to be met on all fucking parts. Tori knew what was going on. Kelsey knew what was going on. Megan knew what was going on. I wish Megan Thee Stallion all the best. She's been killing it as of late. I wish her nothing but the best. For real, for real. Because I really want to see her win. But it was just like, again, the visuals are great. The story was okay. She did go at a lot of bloggers and podcasters who were not on her side, took Tory Lanez's side initially. And I mean, she got the last laugh at the end of the day. The man is in prison. He in jail doing his time. You feel me? And stupidly enough, that's where he's going to be. Because, dumb, you're not even supposed to be here. Huh? And you should have knowingly knew that the... We're not going to get into this no more. But I don't know why, for me, the biggest takeaway was, oh, see, Megan fucked Tory. Anybody with a brain and a half knew that 4 years ago. It wasn't news to us, kid. Wasn't news to us. All right? We knew that from the get-go. Again, y'all want to see the picture? Put the picture up again. You don't tell me 4 years ago they not fucking. For our listening audience, I just put the picture back up. You don't tell me that. They fucking. They were fucking multiple times. Women don't put their asses on the pecker like that if they not sitting here fucking. And that nigga knew what was up. Tory was in his bag, boy. Man, all right. I'm going to leave it alone, though. I'm going to leave it alone. All right. So are we done? Do we get to... Nope. Not yet. Because guess who's back again? Guess who's back. I don't know if we should tell a friend or not, but Jess Hilarious is back on The Breakfast Club. Shout out to Jess. She's back on The Breakfast Club. She's been on maternity leave. Shout out to her. Shout out to her her husband, I believe, boyfriend, husband. Just shout out to her and everything she's doing. You feel what I'm saying? Now, I really want to say this real quick. Jess came back and I heard slash watched the show. I've been listening to it a little bit more since Lauren LaRosa has been on there, which Lauren LaRosa, you know, she's from TMZ. She has the journalistic background. She knows how to talk to pop culture just as well as Jess does as well. However, and a but. I think when Jess came back, and this is no shade to Jess, it just showed the level of, I guess, difference in how, in style, in how both report the news. One who doesn't kind of live by the sources, one who does, though. You know, Lauren would always call people, have people on the phone, you know, try to get those sources together because she didn't care. Right. And not to say that there was no level of care, but she did her job very, very well. She did her job amazingly. And then watching Jess today and her, it was just like, oh, okay. Because I didn't want to believe at first, like, you're getting all of your stories from social media. But then when you came back, it was a confirmation, like, oh, you're not even confirming these sources at all. At all. You're not even, like, you're the person who can call Jason Lee and ask him these questions. And you're not doing that? Huh. Interesting. Okay. And that's just one example. I'm just saying, I think Jess has that pull to do what Lauren LaRosa was doing. But I think it just shows you the level of just like difference in style of how they go about doing the radio. In terms of Jess with the Mess. And I guess again, Jess with the Mess is not supposed to be sources and everything like that. Jess with the Mess is supposed to be messy and I guess clout chasey and not newsworthy. So I don't know. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. So yeah, shout out to Jess. She's back though. You feel what I'm saying? But I don't want to say it like this, but fuck, bring back the rumor report. Take her down, please. Thank you. let's get into our last topic of the day. 47 belongs to the Orange Man himself. Well, y'all see him. For our listening audience, you know, we have the president-elect, Mr. 47 himself, Donald J. Trump, on the photo right now, smiling with his toupee and his, I feel like just looking at this picture, I want to punch my damn laptop, bro. Get this off my screen. Donald Trump won in sweeping fashion this presidential election. Here's the thing. I definitely know HD and Cousin Scrap are going to want to talk about this and give their two cents, and I'll definitely have give them space and opportunity to let them have the floor on that. But here's my two cents when it came to the election. I heard so many folks tell me that they were worried about this election for a lot of reasons. And a lot of those reasons I concurred and agree with. From the moment I knew Kamala Harris was going to run, or going to be the one that the Democratic Party puts in front of, right? Even if to a degree they didn't want to or didn't have enough time to, whatever excuse that is, she was it. Okay. Now, the question I beg people to give me an answer to was, how is she going to get the white woman vote and the black man vote? Y'all answer me the second question, because 78 to 80% of black men came out and supported her. And not just sat here and supported her. They came out and literally supported her. Now, they didn't come out in the states that they needed to, like Pennsylvania, some in Michigan and all of that shit, in the swing states, right? Because Trump got those. Trump got the Michigan again. Trump got the Pennsylvania again. Trump got Georgia again. You feel what I'm saying? So that's what he got, right? And not only that, he took advantage this time of that early voting. Remember, Joe Biden won large in part to the early voting, right? Trump was like, oh, not again? Y'all go ahead and early vote, send them ballots in. Huh? Now, to me, both did not run great campaigns. However, well, let me take that back. Kamala did not run a great campaign. Trump been running a campaign ever since he got out of office. He's been running the campaigns up. And in the last couple years to a couple months, the man has not only went to damn near city after city after city, but has literally sat here and talked to damn near every cultural group, every ethnic group, at least to what he could. Right? Like, you got to talk and sit down with Trick Trick in Detroit. Got love for Trick Trick in Detroit. OG. But you sitting down with Donald Trump, I would think your people would look at you sideways. But hey, I don't know. But to that, you're sitting down with Donald. You're sitting down with Trick Trick. Whoa. To the optics, that is huge within the community of Detroit, especially because Detroit is a very, very black dominated community. So that is huge. Huge. But what is Kamala doing? She's sitting down with Shannon Sharp. That's not an interview that people want to see. You're not sitting down with the Breakfast Club. You're not sitting down with the Joe Buttons. And I'm sorry, Kamala. I'm sorry. Those are platforms that you have to sit down with, because those platforms, specifically the JBP, literally black and brown people listen to them every fucking day on a daily. I'm one of those black and brown motherfuckers. I'm one of those people that listen to the Breakfast Club. I'm one of those people that might turn on Ebro and all of them in the morning. I'm one of those people that's going to turn on the radio from Detroit. You feel me? 92.3, huh? FM 98 WJLB. Are you going to the places that you need to go? See, she didn't campaign like Obama. And my whole thing was, why the hell was Obama sitting here trying to campaign for her? When you're not even trying to campaign the way you need to. Hell, I felt like Barack was back on the ballot. For a minute, I was like, should I put Obama? Shit. Because the way Barack was just coming at black men and, you know, going to this place, this place, this place. I was like, well, shit. Is Barack on the ballot? Should I put Barack Obama? Because damn. You giving me hope, not Kamala. Here's what turned me off from both the candidates, was their political debates. Y'all didn't say nothing y'all was going to do for, excuse me. Y'all didn't say nothing y'all was going to do for black folks, nor did y'all sit here and even talk or even give your solutions to the migrant crisis or immigration. None of that. Y'all skipped over a lot of shit and just talking back and forth, yelling back and forth to each other, saying smart remarks back and forth to each other, look with looks of despair and hope and hopelessness. I'm like, this is a spectacle. I feel like I'm in a Twilight Zone. This is a spectacle, and y'all trying to play me. Y'all really trying to play. Y'all, like, stop. Like, really stop playing with me. And let's say Kamala does win. Let's say Kamala does win it all. Let's say she does win the fucking presidency. Do you honestly think that Donald J. Trump is going to allow, because they said it. I was watching it. They said it on ABC News. He had his legal team ready at the helm. for just in case Kamala won, they were immediately going to take it to the Supreme Court. Said it on the news. I ain't got a lot. Watch it back. I wake up the next morning. Who's the president? Who's the president-elect? Donald J. Trump. In for his second term. When I tell you the somber mood, the moods were somber as fiznuck. Huh? Mood was somber. So somber. And here, and this goes into my message of the week. Okay? Because as somber as we probably still are as a country, or maybe just even internally, as we're thinking about what's next, what's to come, because it's not more so Donald Trump as the president, right? It's more so the power that he's about to have, the Senate and the House. So my message of the week this week is to make sure and always believe that better is coming. You got to. There's no other choice. Believe it. Receive it. Pick yourself up and keep it pushing. For one, Donald Trump don't pay your bills. He don't put food on your table. He don't sign your checks. So you make sure that every day you do some things, and even if you're feeling low, I'm not telling you how to feel. Feel what you gotta feel. But don't stay down too long now. Get up and keep it pushing. You got money to make. You got moves to make. We don't break so easily. We may fall. We may crack just a little bit. But we don't break. So I want y'all to get up. Y'all hear me? I want y'all to get up. We're going to be all right. And we're going to figure it out. We gonna figure it out. All right. All right, y'all. I love y'all. Y'all be easy. Stay breezy. Be sure to follow us wherever you can. You feel what I'm saying? Follow us on Epic Echo Pro on all social media platforms except for TikTok, because we're not there. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and on Threads. All right. I love y'all. Y'all be easy. Stay breezy. And of course, this has been another one. I love y'all. Y'all be good. Stay easy. Be breezy. Peace. We out.